ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So, after quite some gap, we'll continue happily discussing the names of Lord Vishnu as found in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Name 676 is Mahakrama. It's the first in the verse 72 of Vishnu Sahasranama, which all the names begin with Maha. Mahakramo Mahakarma Mahateja Mahoragaha Mahakratur Mahayajva Mahagyagyo Mahahavihi. All names beginning with Maha. There are quite a few names even before this in Vishnu Sahasranam which begin with Maha. Maha of course means great. So before this has come Mahamaya, Maha Mahotsaha, which means Maha Utsaha, greatly enthusiastic. Mahabala, Mahabuddhihi, Mahavirya, Mahashakti, Mahadyuti, Mahadridrik, Mahashana, Mahaksha, Mahabhaga, Mahakara, Mahabhoga, Mahadhana, Mahamaka, Mahadeva, Maharha, Maharshi, Mahashringa, Mahavaraha, Mahamanaha. And still to come are Mahamurti, Mahakrama will come again. Mahakarma will come again. Mahahrada, Mahagarta, Mahabhuta, Mahanidhihi, and Mahan. So, from all this, we definitely get the impression that he's great. That's the whole point. To understand that he is great. Everything about him is great. And that we're very small. Our whole disease is thinking that we are very great. And envy comes when we want that others will be small. But actually we see that actually we're not that great. And we become envious of others. And then we become envious of Vishnu himself. And we don't believe all these things about him. Mahakrama, this name we're going to discuss. Great steps. Great steps. He stepped over the universe in two steps. Who will believe it? Well, not envious people. They won't believe it. So always remember, he's great and we're small. And living in this rural setting and working the land, producing food, items, we are helped by Krishna's very nature to understand he is great and we're small. We see the stars at night and immediately we can understand we're very small. I say producing food, that's what we say in English. We're producing food. We're growing rice, but we're not doing it. Just see the very language. In the very language is embedded the idea of I am the doer. I am producing this crop and that crop. But you can be an assistant in the process, but it's all in his hands. We're sitting by this river. Seems like a small river, but this flows into the Kaveri and goes such a long way to the sea, flowing to the lotus feet of Lord Ranganath in Sri Rangam, surrounding him, making a nice island for him to live on. City life, this modern city life, apart from the fact that you don't see nature at work, you don't see the stars at night, for instance, but it's very strongly reinforces the impression that I am the doer. And the whole idea, you can get ahead by your own ability and outdo others and be smart and work the system so you can get ahead and be big. and you get smashed down by Krishna's external energy. It's not that Krishna's struggling with all these jivas who are trying. They think they're very big, and Krishna's struggling with them, and with great effort he subdues them. It's not like that at all. Krishna's just playing his flute, that's all. And with his external energy, you look after them. And we think we're so big. Well, it's a big illusion. So this Maha, remember, he's very big. Everything he does is great. There's nothing ordinary about him. Well, there is when he comes to Vrindavan. He's an ordinary boy. But then, even then, it's practically not within his. One thing you can say, he can do anything, but anything. One thing he can't do is not be extraordinary, because that's his very nature. If you say God is not great, well, he becomes like an ordinary boy. But even in Vrindavan, where he seems to be ordinary, he's doing his best to be ordinary, but still he can't help himself from doing all kinds of extraordinary things all the time. And even the love that everyone has for him is extraordinary. So it's just his very nature to be extraordinary in all respects. So the name Mahan, the last of the Maha names in Vishnu Sahasranam, really sums it all up. This name is Mahakrama that we're seeing now, and this obviously gives the Krama means step, and it also gives the idea of a gradation, just like you'll say in Sanskrit, Yata Krama, according to the order. So the big steps, big feet. We've heard that in China, the women, the young girls, they have to wear wooden shoes, wooden clogs, so their feet don't grow big. It's torture for them, painful, so because it's considered for women to have big feet, looks ugly. Well, Krishna's, he's not female, but he's got big feet. They cover the whole universe. That Vamana avatar, I was just thinking that always the devotees, they offer prayers to the lotus feet of Vishnu. And particularly in Vamana avatar, more than any other avatar, his feet are of particular significance, because it's with his feet he covers the world. And his biggest and most important step of all was on the head of Bali, which only covers a tiny, tiny fraction of the whole universe. With two steps he covered the whole universe. And in terms of size, Bali's head is much less, but in terms of his own satisfaction, he felt great satisfaction in putting his foot on the head of Bali, because anyway the universe belongs to him. It's all a play for him. That Jayadev says, Chalayasi, by trickery, he showed his Vikrama, and he took the universe from Bali. That I was just going through the Vamana Purana. The second verse there is, Trilokya Rajam Akshipya Baler Indraya Yodadau Namastas Mai Sureshaya Chatma Vamana Rupine. That's very easy, you can understand. Trilokya Rajam, the kingship, the kingdom of the three worlds, Akshipya, who took by force, taking by force from Bali, giving it to Indra. We offer our respect to this Suresha. Suresh, the king of the gods. It's often this name is attributed to Indra, but Vamanadeva showed Indra and everyone else who's actually the king of the gods by doing the work which Indra couldn't do, by taking the universe. And he's Chadma Vamana. He's disguised as a dwarf. He's not really a dwarf. That's the whole fun. He was just trying to be an ordinary little boy, but that was his trick. But Shukracharya understood immediately, oh, watch out, that's Vishnu. If it's Vishnu, can't expect any good for us demons. Chadmavamana, he's just pretending to be. Just pretending to be a little boy, but actually his feet are so big. Little boy means got very little feet. And then he said to Bali, you give me 3 steps of land measured by my own measured by my own footsteps, which is hardly enough. He could hardly cover 1 meter or something like that. Sometimes you see children, they do a game. They're seeing how far they can step. Minimum number of paces to cover an area. So Bali said, no, you're not very intelligent, you're just a little boy. You see, you're not very experienced. So you should ask for something more. Otherwise you'll have to come again, and it's shameful to me that you have to come again. Anyone who comes to me, they should not have to, for charity, they should not have to come again. And Bali said, no, you see, we're Brahmins and we should be content with just the minimum we need, as if he was just going to take a tiny piece of land. And then he expanded himself and his little feet became the biggest feet of all. And with those lotus feet, with one of his feet, he pierced through the universe, and then the Ganga came through. And even before that, just as his foot is going up, up, and Brahma's looking down, and, ooh, what's going on? There's a big foot coming up here. And then, oh, it's Vishnu's foot. Whoop, I've got to get my kamandalu, pour some water. Time to do puja, doing puja every day to Vishnu. And here he is, here's his foot, live. Real time, as they say. So that became the Ganga, and that mixed with the water coming in, leaking in through the universe of the causal ocean. And that became the Ganga. So his feet, his big feet, are most important. Mahakrama, Trivikrama, Trivikrama, 3 big steps. Or Mahakrama, 1 with big steps. This Shankaracharya, his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam is always highlighting the majesty, the greatness of Vishnu. And Bhatta, what's his name? I'm just forgetting full name. Parashara Bhatta, yeah. He's always emphasizing the sweetness and the bhaktavatsalya of Bhagavan, the quality of his love and sustaining of his devotees. So the name Mahakrama obviously lends itself to the Trivikrama, Vamana. Urukrama is another similar name. Uru also means great steps. The Vamana Dev avatar. And Krama also means gradation, series. So Parashara Bhatta, he gives the meaning, the one who gives a great method to approach him gradually. That's the mercy of Vishnu, that he can take us, he is concerned about every single living being, even the little, you can see in the river here, fish, little fish. Who cares about the little fish? Even the fishermen who catch fish, and there aren't any here because they don't care about fish this big. They eat little ones this size. They're really desperate. That's the only ones they get, I guess. They're easy to catch, I would think. You just put a net in and catch them.
They come to catch
them. Oh, well, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. My example didn't work. In merry old England, I often give examples from merry old England because that's the miserable place, miserable part of the universe that I was born in. Or the part of this miserable universe that I was born in this time around. Fish this size, they're called minnows. And Australia also, little fish this size. It's one kind of fish. There's so many fish. It's like in the, you have sea fish like cod and plaice and haddock, and then inland fish, I don't know, perch and roach and pike and so many different. So they're tiny little fish like this. They're called minnows. And it, minnow is also a word used as an insulting term for someone who's just completely insignificant. Or just like if you have a football team that's completely useless against a very small, against some major team, it's called them minnows. So even in the heart of such living beings, Krishna is there. He doesn't think, oh, some insignificant little fish in a stream, who cares about that? He doesn't think, the little mosquito, hardly any mosquitoes here, just very few at this season. Probably in the rainy season you get plenty, huh? No? Even in the rainy season, too much rain for them.
Too much rain, it becomes cold.
And it becomes cold also. There are advantages into the rainy season here. So, the mosquitoes, who cares about them? But Krishna's in the heart of every living being. He cares for everyone. What will you do to uplift a mosquito? What are you going to do? Okay, you're a big preacher, Priya Govinda. What are you going to do to uplift the mosquitoes? Well, you can chant Hare Krishna. Krishna gives a method, even if the mosquitoes hear that, we don't know what... Look at that, you see it's written Mini on her... What's that? T-shirt or what's that called? T-shirt? Bib or something? Yeah. Mini Mouse, I guess that is. Oh, I have to think of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse even here. You guess horrible cultures invading everywhere. Anyway, Krishna, what was I saying? Krishna cares for every living being. How are they going to be uplifted? There's a method Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. When Haridas Thakur asked, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur, he's Nama Acharya, right? So he's an Acharya, he's instructing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the role of learning from Ramananda Rai and learning from Haridas Thakur. How will these living beings be uplifted? What about the Jovans, the Yavanas, means the Muslims, they're killing cows. How can they be uplifted? What can you do? What can you do to them? What about all the living beings who are not humans? What can be done for them? And Haridas Thakur's famous reply is, Pashu Paki Kitadi Bolite Na Paresh Shunile Harinam Tara Otare. That the animals, the birds, the insects and so on, they can't chant the holy names, that's true. The holy name is for uplifting everyone. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nam Huite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishta. In Kali Yuga, Krishna has descended. His avatar is come as his holy name, and by the holy name, all the universe can be uplifted, can be delivered. So Haridas Thakur says that even the insects and the most insignificant living beings, even though they can't chant, if they hear the holy names, they can also be uplifted. So Krishna's thinking of the welfare of all living beings. And even if people, by performing sinful activities, they take birth in the lower species, Krishna arranges, and gradually they can become free from sinful reactions to some extent, and then get a human body, and then again get the opportunity to engage or somehow or other come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada to preach in the Western countries. Srila Prabhupada recruited so many devotees for spreading Krishna consciousness, sent them all over the world. And in this way, the flow of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is spreading. So Krishna has a plan to uplift everyone. Parashara Bhatta gives an analogy. A mother, first of all, feeds... just see, Now, it's not a mother, it's the father feeding the child. We have the example right in front of us here, or behind you. The mother, first of all, gives her breast milk. That's the first thing fed to the baby. And then gradually gives some cow's milk also. Then gradually some semi-solid food. And then gradually some grains. And then fully solid food. And here you're feeding her rice, is it? Okay. And she's pointing at something. You don't know what she's pointing out. What do they see? Maybe she saw Krishna. You don't know. So, in this, it's all Krishna's plan, how they can gradually eat various foods and then grow and become strong. So in the same, Krishna has a plan to gradually uplift us, even from the lowest species of life, up to the level of pure devotion. And the Varnashram system is supposed to regulate people's lives in such a way that they don't act in a grossly sinful manner, and to bring them in contact with Vishnu. Everyone in the Varnashram system recognizes Vishnu, and then by having devotees, you can gradually engage them, and it's from the karma kanda, they can come to nishkam karma, then jnana, and then gradually they can come to bhakti. And it's an ongoing process. Parashara Bhatta quotes from the Laghu Atri Smriti. Janmantara sahasreshu tapodhana samadhibihi naranam kshina papanam krishne bhaktif prajayate. The sins of human beings get annihilated over a period of several births. Well, actually here it says Janmantara Sahasreshu, over thousands and thousands of births, by means of austerities, meditation, and contemplation on him. And ultimately, one gets devotion to Krishna. And then again, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavang Maam Prapadyate. After many births, one who's cultivating knowledge comes to surrender to Krishna. Abhyasa yoga inatato mami chaptam dananjaya. By doing yoga practice, then gradually the desire to, or Krishna says, by yoga, you practice yoga and strive to attain me. Vedanta Deshika, in his Tamil explanation of this, says that Krishna spoke to Arjuna the truth of Bhagavad Gita step by step. If he had said to Arjuna immediately, Sarvadhaman Parityaja, Arjuna wouldn't have understood. Even Krishna spoke he gave it step by step, but still Arjuna was getting confused along the way. So step by step he spoke Bhagavad. Of course Arjuna is a great pure devotee, but it's his pastime of apparently being bewildered. So Krishna gives a step by step path, and that's his greatness, his great gradation, Mahakrama, the great gradation, the process that he gives us to come to him. So there's a general process outlined, but as one of the commentators states, that his steps are so big and we are so small that we don't really know what's going on. Therefore, we should take everything as Krishna's mercy. We don't know what Krishna's plan is, but a devotee has the outlook, the faith, that whatever Krishna arranges for me, it's all for my purification. Whatever it is, it's his arrangement. And with that faith, actually everything becomes purifying, everything becomes illuminating. If we think, oh, Krishna's putting me in such difficulty, now, Krishna's not allowing me to be Krishna conscious. Then one cannot be Krishna conscious. But in all circumstances, if one sees Krishna's hand, and understand, it's all Krishna's plan for me. Krishna's got a big plan for everyone. So that faith is required, that Krishna, although he's so big and so great, part of his greatness is that he's concerned about every single living being. And even though he's so great, he's actually personally concerned about me also. So that's another aspect of his greatness, that he's so great and we're so small, but then part of his greatness is that he is able to and actually does look after every living being, especially ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite cheshu chapyaham, especially those who deliberately worship him in love, who make that decision to do so. His big step also gives the idea, he covers everything. Just as with his big steps, he covered the universe, covers the universe. He always covers everything. That's as Vishnu, he's everywhere, so he's always got everything covered. That's there in the Gita, 13th chapter. What is that? Just came to my mind now. I should have looked it up. Savamavritya tishtati. Thank you very much. Krishna is always covering. Sarvata pani padam tat sarvatokshik shiromakam. Sarvata shutimalloke sarvamavritya tishtati. His eyes are everywhere. His hands are everywhere. Sarvata pani padam tat sarvatokshik. His heads and his eyes are everywhere. What's the third line? He's heard of everywhere, and he hears everything everywhere, and he covers everything. Sarvamavritya tishtati. So in that sense, by his big steps as Vamana, he covered the whole universe, but actually he's always covering the whole universe. He just visibly did it at that point, but actually he always does that. Another point, very important, we want to cross over this material world, right? We want to get out of it. Anyone object to that? Anyone want to stay here? Here you are. You are now a worm in stool. You have the prize on. What's your big prize? Your big prize is Mr. Sunil Gupta. Your next birth is a worm in stool. People, they think, I'm got a great future ahead of me. Yeah, I'm going to get ahead and get a good job and get a lot of money, and then I'm going to die and go to hell and become a worm in stool. They know that they only can see so far. They don't see what's going to happen in future lives. So anyone who's even slightly intelligent, it's not very common, but anyone who's slightly intelligent will get out of this material world, and how to do it. It's a big ocean, the ocean of material existence. But there's a solution. What's the solution? Samashita ye padda pallava plavang mahatpadam mahatpadam. Mahatpadam punya yash. Mahatpadam means big feet or big steps. Mahatpadam punya yasho marare. Bhavambudhya vatsa padang parang padang 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 yad vipadang natesham. Srila Prabhupada quoted that many times. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavan's another name is Mahatpada. Mahatpada means whatever wonderful things are there, that is resting at his lotus feet. And then Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse. This samashita ye padda pallava plavang. Everything is resting at the lotus feet of Murari Krishna. If we take shelter of his lotus feet, then we can easily cross over the material ocean as easily as we can walk over a calf's hoof print. So if you see this river, it's very shallow now. You can easily walk through it. If you had to jump over it, you'd have to be a pretty good jumper. I mean, possible, not for me. Even when I was young, I don't think I could do it. But someone who practices long jump, they could cross. You could cross it? No. They can cross over it. But what about crossing over an ocean? forget it. But if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu, we can cross over the ocean. He's got big feet. He can have big steps. He can easily walk. Oh, the calf sutra is going to... If we come to this and you think, well, maybe, let's try and find a shallow spot I can cross it. Of course, you wouldn't bother now because the water is very shallow. You can just walk through it. But then if you come to a calf's hoof print and there's little water, you don't even think about it. You just step. If there's water there, you won't want to step into it, but you'll step over it. But you won't even think about it. You just walk over it. So in the same way, the example is given there that although we can only take little steps with our physical feet, but if we hold on to his lotus feet, we can easily cross the whole material ocean. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a completely different understanding of this name, referring to the killing of the Yavana Kala, Kala Yavana, who was killed by the... who kicked Muchukunda and got burned to ashes as a result. So Krishna arranged that. That was Krishna's big arrangement for someone else to do the kicking and to get burned to ashes, burned to death by Muchukunda. Similar name, the next name, Mahakarma. Easy to understand. One who performs great activities. This name will come again later on. And similarly, there are some interpretations which give the idea that he does great work, obviously, in the matter of creating the universe. Someone may get a big prize for being the architect who designs a big building. But Krishna designs the whole universe, which way? Again and again throughout this life, I'm struck by the incredible foolishness of people who think that this whole universe has come into being without any God in control, without any intelligence behind it. It's just amazingly foolish to think how everything is so complex, and they think it's just, what do they think? They just come into being by random forces. Amazingly foolish. So Krishna creates everything, and just with a tiny fraction of his energies. What is that? Mama tejong sambhavam. Yadyat vibhuti mat sadvam. Even all these wonderful things within the whole universe, whatever exists. Srimad urjitam evava tattadeva avagachatvam. Mama tejong sambhavam. Everything, all the wonderful things come into being just by a tiny little fraction of Krishna's power. So how great is he? Mahakarma. So that's one meaning of the name. And then another meaning is that his great actions are in preserving his devotees, uplifting his devotees. And again, we can have that example of Vamanadev. Great big steps for impressing the non-devotees or the neophyte devotees, two steps to cover the whole universe. But then for the third step, that's the one which the devotees can really appreciate, that he was kind enough, having shown how powerful he is, he's so much greater than everyone, he was kind enough to put his third step on the head of Bali. So everything he does, it's just beyond... Well, maybe that's one reason. We could almost give some justification to the atheist, because his actions are so far greater than anything we can imagine doing that it's beyond our imagination. But then we should accept that it's beyond our imagination, but we shouldn't say, well, it's impossible to do. No one could do it. We see a big building, twin towers. How tall were those twin towers that got blown up in New York City? The airplane flew into them and then someone blew them up from the bottom or something like that. More than 100 stories. 100 and something stories. So we may think, if we're envious, we'll say, well, I couldn't do it, so no one else could do it. Could anyone here? Okay, now we're giving you a job. Now you have to design and oversee the construction of a more than 100-story building. Anyone? No, we don't know how to do it. That doesn't mean that no one else knows how to do it. So it's so much beyond. I couldn't even draw a right angle, not with my bare hands anyway. Nowadays anyway, do it all in the computer. No one does architectural drawings anymore. That's a thing of the past. But there's so much you have to study. You really got to get it right, otherwise it's a disaster. I remember when first of all they were building high-rise buildings in India. That was about 5 or 6 stories high. That was high-rise at the time. In Calcutta, that was late 1970s. And there was one right on the corner near our temple there, and you could just see, it's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And within a short time, it all collapsed. And so many things you have to get right. Everything has to be properly done. Otherwise, the whole thing is liable to collapse very soon. So it requires a high level of competence to do that. So, and then just extrapolating to make this whole universe. Krishna's not only giving the design, but he's supplying the ingredients and actually seeing that it gets done. He's the architect, the engineer, the contractor, the supplier, everything, all in one. How about that? The atheists don't believe it. So they get to see the whole universe. They get to see it as a worm in stool and a fish in the water and a bird in the air. And eventually they may wake up to the fact that, oh, I saw the universe through so many different kinds of eyes. Well, maybe there is God after all. They should wake up to all of that. Everything he does is stupendous, spectacular. Sometimes we see that. Yeah, you must get cyclones here. Have you been here? Seen any cyclones? No, you don't get cyclones here. On the west coast of India, you don't get them so much. More on the east coast. In Bengal, you get. It's spectacular. Frightening if you're caught out in it, or the tsunami, the earthquake. These are all signs of his great immense power. They're all signs that for all our plans we're dependent on him. Everything he does is magnificent. Sometimes we see that in nature, and then we can hear about it by hearing about his pastimes, his pastimes as a fish, as a tortoise, as a boar, as Narasimha, as Vamana, all amazing pastimes. Everything about him is great. And then even anything we see great in this material world, in this area, the Hoysala kings were very famous, and then Krishna Devarai, was it? And the great kings, and the Tipu Sultan was also somewhere around here, was it?
Yeah, Mysore,
yeah. So these are all big, powerful men doing great things, but the greatness of the great is Krishna. Whatever great things anyone does, it's all the greatness comes from Krishna. So we should see. We should see. And we should see that. And the truly great person in this world is someone who recognizes that it's Krishna. Someone who does something great and recognizes that I'm not great, Krishna's great. That is the actually great person. Srila Prabhupada never took credit for himself. He says, oh my guru, he did. It's all Krishna's mercy. That was another aspect of his greatness. How great is this whole universe? And he creates it and he dissolves it. All our plans, all our history, all our attachments, everything finished. And then again, he makes it go on. So, janma karma cha me divyam, Krishna says. My janma, my birth, my karma. Now, when we say janma, or when Krishna says janma karma cha me divyam, then all his birth and all his activities are divine, transcendental. So generally we think in terms of his particular pastimes as Krishna, because he's janma karma cha me, my activities. But that includes all his activities of the creation, maintenance, destruction of the universe. It's not just what Arjuna knew about the history of Krishna. Okay, he was born in Mathura, the son of Vasudev. He lived in Vrindavan in incognito for some time. And then he went to Dwaraka and married the queen. So that's the history that people knew of Krishna, his activities. And Krishna says it's all divyam, it's all transcendental. But there's also, as he gradually reveals in Bhagavad Gita, that the whole universe is pervaded by him. He's in maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachahang teshvavastita. Everything's in Krishna. Krishna's not in everything. Krishna's immanent. He's aloof at the same time. So everything goes on. Apart, even the mahakarma, all the small karmas are all done by him. The river is flowing. How is it flowing? That's all Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna's energy. Everywhere you see energy, it's all Krishna's. So if you take all the energy in the universe put together, it's all Krishna's. Every little thing, it's all Krishna's. So, whatever we want also. What do we want? We want to enjoy this material world, Krishna will arrange it. It's his arrangement, isn't it? I did this sacrifice, I went to the heavenly planets, I worked hard, I earned a lot of money. But it's all Krishna's arrangement, that's all. And then we have to suffer also. It's all Krishna's arrangement. And then if we desire to attain him, he'll also help us. It's all Krishna's arrangement, everything. Is doing. So, apart from his creating, maintaining, and destroying the universe, apart from as if it's for Krishna, it's just so that you meet someone and you hear about them. Apart from creating, maintaining, and destroying the universe, I also look after a few cows. You know, it's like just, yeah, well, I do that also. You know, yeah. What do you do? You meet someone. Oh, what's your name? My name's Govinda. What do you do? I look after cows. Oh, yeah, I also create, maintain, and destroy the universe. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I should tell you that also, yeah. Yeah. Krishna, Krishna. His mercy and kindness. They're also maha. They're very great. Krishna's kindness is very great. We need not underestimate his kindness. We also shouldn't take it for granted and think that we can cheat him and do all kinds of sinful activities and just say Hari Bol and then Krishna will let us off. Krishna's also very intelligent. So his great actions in lifting everyone, his aim is in lifting even the most sinful and even the most offensive living being. Krishna wants to purify him and bring him back to his own abode. When Lord Rama left this world, he entered the Sarayu River, and all the living beings in Ayodhya, down to the ants, they all followed him and they all went to the spiritual world. How about that? We're working so hard to distribute a few books and try to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And if by the grace of Krishna they take to Krishna consciousness, we feel very pleased. But then when he wants, he just takes, okay, all living beings, you just all come. Just takes them all. So we should never think, I'm a great preacher. I made so many devotees. It's all his work. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the understanding that his transcendental activities, and he particularly cites the killing of Kalayavana. He could cite so many, but he's particularly in this series of names focusing on the killing of Kalayavana. So he says that all of his activities, including or such as killing Kalayavana, are glorious, praiseworthy, worshipable, and wonderful. Jai Shri Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.